nets or transporting the vessel because I signed my bills of lading.
But that works for you as the judge.
I'm just a citizen when I walk in.
Card right there, do we get those from you?
No, you take a flag and you tape it to the back, you put it on your vessel of your driver's license. Now your driver's license is a vessel. Do you know that your driver's licenses don't have vessels? I mean, your vessel of a driver's license does not have a flag.
That's right.
By maritime law, a flag must appear on the back, must be on your vessel. Yeah. And you must put a stamp and sign it because you're the postmaster transporting the vessel. Otherwise, your document is incomplete.
So you have
That's already been challenged at motor vehicle. And we won that argument. That's why our vessels have flags and stamps on them.
So, flag of the United States of the world?
Unity is the word. You can't be in past tense. It's a now time jurisdiction flag for a now time vessel to transport, which has a linear equation contract with motor vehicle to stop and correct.
And all I got to do is take and get my driver's license and put a plastic cover over.
Not modifying your language. You're not modifying your contract with the motor vehicle license or your state identification. You're merely adding to the fact that you know about maritime law, you know about postmasters, you know about transport vessel of that plastic, and you made it legal. And because you make it legal and you can certify that you have the authorization and with the knowledge of a postmaster and what his duties are, that you understand what a flag is, what the law of the flag is, that you've researched it.
Okay, then under Title 31, Section Part 2, Section 215.
Which verb of the 1 through 50 codes are you quoting from?
Title 31.
Code
of Federal Regulations.
Which verb?
Yes.
There's no noun. You have to quantumize the definition of your assignments and then attach and file your treaty in quantum.
I'm missing what you're saying there.
I'm saying that this here document, if I want to resubmit this here and take jurisdiction for it, I will quantumize this and refile it with the Universal Postal Union, taking charge of the House of Representatives and the words that they spoke, saying that this is wrong, I'm correcting it. Mm-hmm. I'm stopping and correcting under Title 42, 1986. And the Title 42, 1986 is punctuated and is copyrighted by us, and we are using a new copyrighted definition. We have recopyrighted over 405 of the definitions in the title codes that are relevant to running the responsibilities of a postmaster, of judgeships, of of ambassadors. We're increasing the accuracy of who we are.
Okay.
As fast as you can ask the questions, we will take whatever definitions you wish and quantumize those instantly for the contract that is required. And under 5-day notice, if we are noticed of a fiction, we have 5 days to stop and correct under the laws of time. And we do so.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you're going to take this apart, but this is what it says. In the agreement between the Secretary of Treasurer and the District of Columbia State City County Government, between the... And it takes possession of the executive branch, the postal authorities, the all federal, state citizens, federal, state, county government employees, military, and the judicial branch for withholding purposes. And the very last says, and the postal authorities. Now, if you are using that stamp, saying you're a postmaster, don't you put yourself right back under their jurisdiction by saying you're a postmaster?
No, because your postmaster is a noun, theirs is a verb. So you have to sign a treaty. The treaty says, fiction cannot certify my fact. My fact cannot authorize your fiction. However, a treaty says that I understand that you exist. You serve a function. And that you are organized of two or more, which has a contract. You must also understand that I am a fact. I have two or more. I am also a fact. I do exist also. So I will agree to acknowledge you under this treaty that we will coexist as we learn to exist together.
But
that's
now
what
you just
all
said
countries
that you
do
agree,
the world.
Therefore the word means no.
Or I
agreement.
Contract. Okay. I have duty.
The prefix.
I have duty. Or it's for the duty of the recognition between the two treaties.
Mm-hmm. So that's how you would get around that one.
Right. We break it down. So, you know, talking off the cuff, about 99% of the time I can do it. Sometimes I've got to sit down, pull out my book on synonyms and antonyms, and go through and find the best word, look up all the definitions, and then constructively make a contract. Once that constructive contract is created, we then publish it so that people understand where we are at. We don't go out there and say, guess. We use closure and covery, so the rule of one is always certified. That you know exactly where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
That you have no animosity to think that I'm doing something that is going to hurt you. Because if you believe someone is going to hurt you, you have fear. And you do things that are unnatural. So we keep a natural order of things through truth, contract, and honor at all times for every word we use. It's a very high discipline of communications.
Mm-hmm.
An order of communicating with the masses.
Now, if you're writing something on a plain white piece of paper, so this is, because it has four corners...
It is a trust, and it is also a vessel. So be
careful
what you place on your vessel. It could be a fiction, it could be a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand the difference to be able to certify your position.
So then if I snip the corners...
Still doesn't change the fact that it's a vessel.
Okay.
Under maritime law, your vessel must have closure.
What actually do you mean by closure?
Closure means that you must advertise the definition of your statements. Even though that might be a little piece of notepaper, if you look at the back of it, it has a stamp of this hotel, which
mm-hmm.
means the documents, the information is written on that, it has a copyright protection, it has information on the bottom as to location, where the paper came from. It says that the hotel owns that piece of paper. If you write something on that paper that causes a damage, or infringes upon the Hampton Inn's identity, then now they have the right to go ahead and sue for malice.
Mm-hmm.
Or, for this time, it would be libel. Libel is written on paper, malice is speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a libel that is a creation as a result of that paper, they have recourse to say, you came onto our premises and you misrepresented yourself and created a libel against our organization. And that violates the terms of the agreement for you to be here.
Mm-hmm. So then the closure, though, without just a plain white piece of paper, I send it to the judge, whatever, like that, or your agency or whatever. What do you mean by closure? Is that a last statement that I'm making on the paper?
No, it is accumulation of evidence on the paper.
And I've got to summarize it. And it's a summary of closure of the whole thing.
Well, it's all the information on the paper.
And it should end with the word with.
No, it should end with a noun. A person's name has to end the document. Where do you sign the document?
On the very bottom.
Right,
yes.
Because it has authority for above it and everything to the right of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I sign my document, I put my copyright. I said, everything that's written on this page, I take responsibility for it. This is my duty. This is my claim, my creation. And I went ahead and I put an autograph, block printed with punctuation. It's not a cursive, it's a block print. Because a block print is an autograph. Look at art, creation of art written on.
So then I wouldn't sign it my normal cursive signature, I would put it in
block. You would block print it with punctuation. That's your autograph. If you cursive, you do evil because you do curse. Curse means to I swear. Swear is to do harm upon another.
So even on the bottom, check, you'll
do
that.
Well, it depends on what written agreement you have on your check writing card. If you go into your checking account, you pull your signature card up, and you block print your name, that is your autograph. It says right on your check cashing card. This isn't a signature simulation, it's an autograph.
Right.
And if all of you look at the signature line on your personal check, in micro print it says for the signature, for the authorization of this signature.
It's not a line.
It's not a line. It's words, 1/100th of an inch high. Put so close together that it appears to be a line because your eye can't focus that tiny. But if you magnify it 30 times, you will see that it is a legible, laser-burned-in, written contract that is only as high as a line is thin.
And so what you're saying, then, you should never use your cursive signature?
It depends where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
A personal check has a box on it. it's written in future tense, so that you don't have now time jurisdiction of the creation of security, otherwise you'd be guilty of counterfeit. It's a document that exists in the future, will always exist in the future, but as long as it is honored, you won't be charged with fraud.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in a legal document then, you do not sign your name, you put your block print, your name?
Yes. Yep. That would be my autograph. If I'm going to cursive, I'm going to sign signature and do simulation. SI is simulation. What's the symbol for gold?
AU.
Right. What's the authorization?
Oh.
Original. Okay. What's an autograph? Original. What's an author? Original. Authentic. Original. All start with AU.
Okay.
And if you sign, signature, or simulate, they start with SI. And if you have value or valiance or vacate, it starts with VA. You can break down language by looking at the letters of the words and breaking down the syllables and looking at where history shows us where greatness is, where simulation is, where authorization is, where fraud is.
Why do they always want you to take and sign your name on something?
Because they want you to simulate. You're a dead person under Title
46, 1441.
You are dead 45 days after you were born because you vacated the trust of your birth certificate. Therefore, you became property of probate. That's where dead people go, probate.
So then really, your signature is really working.
A simulation, right, until you wake up. The truth will set you free. In the meantime, you have a right to bear arms. Wear short-sleeved shirts.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with guns. Guns is an arma. You have a right to bear arms because you don't know what freedom is. You're a chattel of bankruptcy. Your ignorance locks you up as a ward of the state. Bankruptcy, international or not, you're still a ward of the state as long as you're ignorant. When you can break your bonds, it means you have intelligence. You know how to write in prepositional phrases. You know how to make your nouns, create your contracts, and therefore you become free, and the truth will set you free.
Yeah, but if you're set free, you can be recaptured. How about being made free?
Can't be made free. The right to bear, to is in future tense. You have no now time jurisdiction to be free. When you have now time jurisdiction, you'll know not to use true. True. T-O in your language.
Okay.
And true is not allowed in our technology. Neither is from, neither is over, and neither is under.
Mm-hmm.
We're not under this flag, we're with this flag.
Yeah.
Because it represents under the law the flag, the contract. You can see the flag before you get to the fact. You can see the flag before you can get to my voice or to my contract. And if my flag appeared on a contract that I mailed to you 1,000 miles away, when you came here and you saw that flag, you knew what the contract was.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, if you do not wish to enter the vessel of this contract under the law of that flag, then don't enter the vessel. So everyone in this room entered this vessel to make argument with me under the law of the flag, because they know what the rules and regulations are. They know they have freedom of the speech, freedom of the press, freedom of the grievance, freedom of the question. And they can
was
come into this room and walk out of this room and have a...
Did you say freedom of the question?
Yes.
So you have the right to ask questions?
Yes.
And have those answered?
Yes.
By the court?
Yes. And haven't I answered your questions?
Yes.
In detail?
Yes. But I mean, there's a judge...
The judge isn't going to answer anything for you.
Well, I mean, if you ask him questions...
He'll answer questions as long as he doesn't give up any secrets. Have you gotten a few secrets here today?
Yeah.
A few facts?
Yes. Okay, but now the difference, what you said there, the truth shall set you free, but the statement says truth shall make you free.
Right.
Being set free, you can get recaptured.
Okay.
Made free is you're free.
Right. You can make yourself free because you know how to break the bonds of the fiction.
And that's exactly what this is.
This is
when you're dismissed, you're set free.
This is the technology that brings you into a linear equation of mathematics with that level of accuracy. That you can prove your argument frontwards and backwards. The math certifies the fact that you know that you can do math frontwards and backwards. The same thing is true in English or any other language you choose. Yes, John?
So if you put a flag on your documents, does the law of the flag apply if the judge picks that document up, automatically entered?
Right. You got your contract. You got your flag on your contract. The judge says, picks it up and looks at it and says, I'm not going to take that. I hereby dismiss that. What did that judge just do when he picked up the law of the flag? He made a judicial decision. And the one unique thing about our contracts is it says right here, with this registration mail number as this corporation case number, and a corporation is perpetual existence. When you pick up the perpetual existence, you're stuck forever until it is arbitrated to a conclusion, or in a conclusion. All members, the judge now becomes an officer of the corporation and can't quit until all parties agree on the terms of the corporation. And these, in this contract, when you accept it, when you made a judicial decision, he joined. It says here, I can't modify a noun. I will use in the truth technology. I will use in the truth prepositional phrases. I know that the order of operation, my prepositional phrases, are articulated in a specific manner to render a decision that is accurate. And when I get to that position of in the truth, then we can go ahead and look at all the facts and come to a conclusion. Then that judge can put that document down and not say it's dismissed. He can make an honest decision about it. And he's got to do it in writing. That's what I do when I judge a case. I give you a mathematically certified document that is frontwards and backwards so that no government can translate it into any language and say it doesn't say exactly what it means. It crosses its T's, dots its I's, covers all the different aspects and deductive reasoning of the requirements of time and space and quantum, frontwards and backwards. And we have forensic evidence with signed confessions by all the parties that are participating within the document, within the violations.
So then all the person has to do is write a document in the truth. They can be made free and doesn't have to worry about any of this public law, statutory law, and those kinds of things.
It's all modified. None of it counts. It's all fiction.
So that doesn't count? You don't need any of that stuff? All you have to do is write the document so that it's mathematically correct?
Yes. And when it's given to you and you understand it between you and I, we then have a contract. I offered, you accept it. Now we have a compliance. If you breach, B-R-E-A-C-H, if you breach it, breach has one definition and one definition only.
Transgression.
No, it says that you signed this and you broke it. That's it. And now the document also has a lawsuit in it and provides for the punishment of breach. It's called perjury. You said something and you didn't do it, so therefore you're guilty of perjury. And if you act with somebody else, it's a conspiracy. And if somebody else got damaged, it's now a moving vessel, goes into maritime law, and about another 400 laws fall into position. To breach one of my contracts carries a 1,500-year prison sentence and about $1.5 million in fines. And I have confession for that.
What does the person have a contract with you for?
What do they have a contract with me for?
I mean, you said that
when people enter into contracts with me, they do know that they are entering into a contract.
Mm-hmm.
They are ordered to come to court, and I have their confessions under violation. They are notified to stop and correct. The time expires. They are guilty under fault. And those judgments are then filed according to law, and the judgments are published. But we don't have a police force, we don't have a military, and we don't have a jail system. That's why the ICC was created.
What's ICC?
International Criminal Court.
Mm-hmm.
Was created where all the nations are joining in a one world order of a court system that says if apartheid and genocide is the issue of the condition of thinking of an individual, and he goes out there and commits acts of a genocide and apartheid against another human being, whether you have a police force or you don't, you bring it to us, and we will assign the Universal Postal Union postal inspectors to go into your country through Interpol and arrest that individual.
So what was that?
What do you think we're doing in Afghanistan? You think we got a treaty to go over there and blow that country up?
No, that's a travesty.
The point is that under the issues of apartheid and genocide, they don't have a police force to stop us. It's illegal what we're doing.
Sure is.
But it's the might is saying we're going to be right regardless how much might it takes. It's wrong, and everybody on this planet is angry about the wrong that's done. Wrong don't make a right. But this is where they're going in there, and they're saying Afghanistan, the government that was in position, didn't have a quantum constitution, didn't have a quantum election, didn't have anything to say who they were. They've never had a treaty, trust, or contract written in the entire history of Afghanistan that ever identified what they were under maritime law, Title 46, 781. The United States sets down claim of salvage against the country and goes in there and rousts out whatever they want to take, just like England took from Guadalcanal in 1928 and genocided 1,180 people. They use letters of mark, and they use fiction language under Title 46, 781 to salvage the people who couldn't read and write.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the same thing in Afghanistan today. And they've been doing it for wars since man for 10,000 years. This technology now says that all 250 nations can learn how to read and write, set down treaties, trusts, and contracts under truth, quantumly certify them, and get the and put up your treaties worldwide and stop the invasion of wrong. And when people know what right is, they won't do wrong because they know what the penalties are for wrong. That's one thing we're doing here, is we are certifying a communication skill that will not damage anybody. And we're giving everyone amnesty and time to stop and correct it. We held this court today so that we, the people, could challenge what I've created in 1988. And after 14 years and 305 seminars of teaching, have brought to the table, published worldwide, have the World Court support, have the ICC support, have the backing of all 250 nations in the world to put this technology before the people and arbitrate it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you answer the questions? I could stand up here for weeks and we can do this, and we bring in more and more people with more and more arguments. And after 8,000 questions, yeah, I think I can certify my position on these mathematical facts against any fiction that would or presumption you would make. Yes, John?
We've got Chechnyan oil fields that was taken over by Russia. We've got Cheneyville and pipelines, and we've got China on the other end that wants that oil. How are you going to beat the big three?
When
oil, all right, international banks.
The same way that I took the Greek Orthodox and the Roman Catholic Church, and I said, "Hey, you got everything modified in adverb verb. Show us your contract. We don't have one. Good. Here's a new way to do it. Guess what? You're both talking the same talk. Here's the least common denominator. Now you can communicate." We took the 52 Kuponas, the 52 tribes of Hawaii. We showed them how to read and write in the truth, and they unified. We took the 152 tribes of Canada and showed them how to communicate in the truth with the least common denominator, and unified the 152 tribes. There's 380 Eskimo tribes in Alaska. They have been given the technology, and they're studying also. And they all find out one thing, that they're all brothers and sisters, and they all have one idea. They want peace and love for their families. They want to have commerce between them, and they don't want to have any lies. That's what we all want. In getting down to that truth of commerce, everyone's going to benefit from it. And Russia and China and India and Pakistan and all the rest of those countries around there, when they have a least common denominator of communication skills where they can't obstruct talking to one another, then they're going to sit down and build a in-the-truth commerce contract, because they won't be able to lie, and that they can trust. And if they can trust, they can work together in commerce.
Now,
every one of you that trust another person will do business with that individual. Brothers and sisters trust each other, and they work very well. Husbands and wives that love each other work together very well because they have a trust. Show me love. Hold love in your hand. Give me a three-dimensional object, the emotion called love. And it's that love that you lie down with the person with you at night and you're unconscious. And it's the love that you trust give you that value. And it isn't all quantum up here, like this here, but there's some things in life that are invisible.
Mm-hmm.
But they make a trust, and it works from cradle to grave. And this is where we're bringing this down to a linear equation of math and showing how a Russian can love a Chinese, who can love a Pakistan, how the Buddhist can deal with the Muslim, and a map interface. When this program was presented as a judge in front of 16 religions and 47 ministers, I did 14 hours of this kind of tech, this kind of presentation, and not one person got angry with each other. The Jew sat next to the Muslim, who sat next to the Christian. And I said, 3 + 3 = 6. You guys going to go beat each other up over that? They said, no. It's a math problem. I says, what? You don't have a disagreement? He says, no. Well, that's an absolute. We can't fight over absolutes. I said, the pen. The other guy says it Muslim. He calls it a different name. The third guy says it in Spanish. And he calls it a scribola. And they're all ready to kill each other because they're not hearing what the other one's saying. So the communications breaks down and they're angry at each other. And I'm going, isn't the opposite the same for all three of you? And they said, yeah, well, why are you angry about it? Because they each want to change each other's minds about, so they have a least common denominator of understanding. The one called it a verb, the other one called it an adjective, and the third one called it a noun. And it was the procedures of language that they were angry about, not the pen. And when we showed them how to write, make it all three languages a noun, you know what? They shook each other's hand and said, we understand them. And they were no longer angry. And all these different religions unified in the idea that we can agree to disagree, and we can take our condition of thinking, use a prepositional phrase, or our assignments that our ideals are accurate, so that the noun becomes a noun for everyone in the room, and no one can dispute that, and they all are at peace with that idea. You know, it says in God we trust on our new money, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It is an adverb, modifies the verb God. Why would our government make God a verb?
Because they have a trust in Puerto Rico.
Well,
why would our government make God a verb when we're supposed to be the...
Because actually the terminology there is...
you can't even make an excuse for it. It's
no,
modified.
It's a process. Fraud of creating an ever-expanding debt-based money system.
No, it's a lie.
That's what I'm saying.
It's boxed.
That's
it's modified. Right. America's modified. God's modified. The money's modified.
Mm-hmm.
It's all an opinion. Isn't the continuance of fiction unanimous on this document?
Sure.
So we have the rule of one and the rule of equal. Fiction equals fiction equals fiction.
Yeah.
So the point is, we're showing them that if show me. Now, religion is something that people can't talk about in public. But then show me religion in any faith, in any church in America, where God is not modified by an adverb, where Jesus is not modified by an adverb, where Yahweh is not modified by an adverb, where Muhammad is not modified by an adverb. Why would you create a modification making all the titles of all the names of all religions a verb? What is the volition of all these people working together? And why would they put yellow fringe on their flags of contract? It's called a 501c3 modification for value. Which means they're under contract for fiction. And so I said to the government, you've got to fix this. You're saying one thing, but you're doing something else. It's the old magic game, sleight of hand. Watch it up here while you pick your pocket down here.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here. We know what the problems are. But no one wants to talk about the problems, so we have to publish it. We have to write it down on paper, and we have to bring the arguments to the court. When the court sees the argument, the court's going to guarantee the fiction stays in the fiction, but when we, the people, have the numbers to elect and in the truth system, then the numbers will change, just like they did in Russia, where 38% of the population voted for in unity-states-Russia. People become aware. They don't like to be lied to.
Exactly. People can handle truth.
Yes, people can handle the truth. It's been pretty quiet over in Russia, hasn't it?
Yeah.
The United States hasn't been throwing any stones at them. They don't throw stones at us. And nobody else has been throwing stones because everyone's working on, hey, you want to make an argument?